Buddy, you know, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down, black or white,
legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
The things that this show has called him, this approach is, I guess it's kind of like we're living in the Twilight Zone.
Submitted for your approval. Tales of expectations shattered. Assumptions obliterated. Preconceived notions stuffed into a bag of doubts and tossed into a lake of hunches.
Donald J. Trump, a man riding a runaway cattle car to the presidency, about to use his shyster business tactics and the admission that he doesn't say what he means to run the United States of America. Those that voted for him will soon discover their ballots have been punched for a one-way destination, a ticket to the Twilight Zone.
Imagine, if you will, a man so cruel, so petty, so ignorant of government policy, he wouldn't be qualified to serve as dog catcher. But he just happens to be the most powerful man in the world. He uses fear to control his enemies and his friends. What happens when he loses that control? He'll soon find out, because he's the president. Can you believe it? Let's win.
More Republicans will turn against you?
No, I'm not afraid of them. I'm the scary one. And that's why tonight's theme is fear. As President JFK Rowling once famously said, the only thing we have to fear is me. Boom!
That's not a JFK quote.
Yes, it is.
You are fake news.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Russia.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
Well, I think it's very sad what they've done with this fake dossier. It was made up, and I understand they paid a tremendous amount of money, and Hillary Clinton always denied it. The Democrats always denied it. And now, only because it's going to come out in a court case, they said, yes, they did it, they admitted it, and they're embarrassed by it. But I think it's a disgrace.
You are fake news.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
Where did this start?
From what we know, it started with Republican operatives who funded this research into Donald Trump and his alleged ties to Russia, because there was the primary campaign underway and his opponents were obviously looking for information to use on the campaign trail against him. However, once he made it through the primary, then Fusion GPS, according to what we know now, reached out to Democratic operatives, and this Mark Elias, who was working on behalf of the DNC and the Clinton campaign, to see if they were interested in picking up the research or the funding for the research, which they apparently did.
Well, I think it's sad, but I think to a large extent, in all due respect, I think the media causes a lot of it. Fake stories are being reported, a lot of bad things are being reported that aren't true. And, you know, I think to a certain extent, maybe I can blame the media, but politics is a rough business, there's no question about it. Well, I think the press makes me more uncivil than I am. You know, people don't understand. I went to an Ivy League college. I was a nice student. I did very well. I'm a very intelligent person. The fact is, I think, I really believe, I think the press creates a different image of Donald Trump than the real person.
I cannot believe the media produced such beautiful children. How the media did this, I don't know. Do you know who they are? Do you know who they are? They're the friendly media. They're the fret. That's the press. Oh, you're going to grow up to be like your parents? Don't answer. That could only get me in trouble, that question. So how does the press treat you? I bet you get treated better by the press than anybody in the world, right? Well, congratulations, folks. You did a good job. You did a good job. Here you did a good job. I wouldn't say you did very well here.
Well, I think the uranium sale to Russia and the way it was done, so underhanded, with tremendous amounts of money being passed, I actually think that's Watergate modern age.
You know what uranium is, right? It's a thing called nuclear weapons and other things, like lots of things are done with uranium, including some bad things.
Sure. Who got the money when the Canadian company was sold to the Russian company, uranium one? Who received the money?
I presume the company, but look.
Yeah. Okay. There. Second question. Mm-hmm. Who approved the sale? Because when any sort of uranium or any company that sells sort of sensitive type products, and by the way, the uranium that's mined in these mines, right,
yep.
is for nuclear power. It's not for nuclear bombs, right? But when that happens, there is an organization called CFIUS that approves it. Do you know what CFIUS stands
yes,
for?
Yes, absolutely.
What does it stand for?
Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States.
How many people sit on that committee?
9 members.
How many have to approve a deal like this?
All 9 of them,
members.
I believe.
How many
Absolutely.
Approved this deal?
9 of them.
Did Hillary Clinton sit personally on that deal?
No, but she
did
pushed
not.
For it.
She, no, she
and
did
you know
not.
What?
No, hold on.
Hear.
Who is the person
yep.
who donated to Hillary Clinton who is related to and had an investment in Uranium One? What is that person's name? Do you remember their name?
They are board members of Uranium One, donated up to $143 million.
Tom Huestra. And when did
to
Tom
the Clinton
Huestra,
Foundation.
Did he own any assets in Uranium One at the time that Hillary Clinton was Secretary of State?
You know, I don't know that,
he did
but
not.
Here's what I would.
Sold them.
Here's what I'd like
before.
To know.
So hold on one
you
second.
Should, you
no,
should want
he
to know
sold
too.
Them years before.
Yep.
So what you're talking about is a deal that 9 members of CFIUS approved unanimously, none of whom was Hillary Clinton. You have a donor who separately gave Hillary Clinton donations at a time when she was not Secretary of State. The two things cross in the night. They have no relation to each other. The members of CFIUS have been very clear that Hillary Clinton had nothing to do with approving that deal. She would have had to strong arm 8 other people in order to get them to unanimously approve the deal, and ultimately the President of the United States would intervene if they saw any problem. The CFIUS people say now, if that deal came before them today, they would still approve it unanimously. There's actually nothing about the deal that's controversial. The only reason we're talking about it is because, per your even admission, which I think is very honest, the RNC would like us to be talking about this now.
President Trump released a torrent of tweets this weekend, his frustration building to an all-caps crescendo.
Never seen such Republican anger and unity as I have concerning the lack of investigation on Clinton-made fake dossier. Now, $12 million, comma, dot, dot, dot. The uranium to Russia deal, the 33,000 plus deleted emails, the Comey fix, and so much more. Instead, they look at phony Trump, Russia, comma, dot, 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 collusion, which doesn't exist. The Dems are using this terrible and bad for our country witch hunt for evil politics, but the R's, dot, 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 are now fighting back like never before. There is so much guilt by Democrats, Clinton, and now the facts are pouring out. Do something!
Do something.
Do something! Do something! Do something!
Breaking news that Bob Mueller charged 3 former Trump aides and one has already pled guilty on a Russia-related charge.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
Donald Trump has been in office for 9 months. These are the earliest indictments of a president's former aides in modern history. One campaign advisor admitting he lied to federal investigators about meetings with Kremlin-linked Russians offering dirt on Hillary Clinton. 2 others out on bail tonight on charges of financial crime.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
It's the first indictment in the investigation into alleged ties between the Trump campaign and Russia.
The charges say that they lied to the FBI about whether they were in fact lobbying for the government of Ukraine.
What we're seeing is a money trail.
Our first reaction now from Donald Trump. Sorry, but this is years ago. Why aren't crooked Hillary and the Dems the focus?
Today's announcement has nothing to do with the president.
He, of course, continues to refer to this all as a hoax.
Special counsel Robert Mueller has filed the first charges in his investigation of the Trump campaign's potential ties to Russia.
Former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort and his business associate Rick Gates have been indicted by a federal grand jury on a number of felony charges, including money laundering and conspiracy against the United States.
No, I'm no legal expert, but conspiracy against the United States does not sound good.
This is a bad day for Paul Manafort.
They threw the book at him. He's looking at 10 to 15 years in prison.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
The charges were actually filed on Friday, but they gave Manafort until today to turn himself in. Wow, we white people really do get arrested differently.
During the campaign, Trump and his aides went out of their way repeatedly to emphasize how important Manafort was to their operations.
Who do you believe will take over the campaign? Will it be Paul Manafort?
Yeah, I think Paul is totally in charge.
Nobody should underestimate how much Paul Manafort did to really help get this campaign to where it is right now.
Paul Manafort has done an amazing job. He's here someplace. Where's Paul? Paul Manafort. Oh, good. You made it.
So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
First, he tweeted, sorry, but this is years ago, before Paul Manafort was part of the Trump campaign. But why aren't crooked Hillary and the Dems the focus? But then 3 minutes later, he added, also, there is no collusion.
Oh, Manafort, Paul Manafort, you're just the first of many.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
I hate that stupid Mueller and his dumb investigation.
Manafort worked as an unregistered agent of the government of Ukraine and took in tens of millions of dollars, which he apparently spent on luxury items, including 3 Range Rovers and $849,000 at a men's clothing store. Apparently, Manafort also spent $934,000 on antique rugs.
Today's announcement has nothing to do with the president, has nothing to do with the president's campaign or campaign activity. The real collusion scandal, as we've said several times before, has everything to do with the Clinton campaign, Fusion GPS, and Russia.
My God, of course! Hillary Clinton colluded with Russia to lose the election.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
Mueller's team arrested a third Trump campaign official, a foreign policy advisor named George Papadopoulos, who, unlike Manafort, has already pled guilty to lying to the FBI. Papadopoulos allegedly met with a professor tied to the Kremlin who promised dirt on Hillary Clinton.
A Papadopoulos indictment has got to be the one that has Trump world really sweating, because it's a guilty plea. It directly deals with collusion, and he is cooperating. According to the indictment,
after learning that he'd be joining the Trump campaign as an advisor in early March 2016, Papadopoulos was in contact with an overseas professor, someone he, quote, understood to have substantial ties to Russian government officials. Those communications began around March 16th.
While working to elect Donald Trump, he repeatedly tried to arrange a meeting between the Trump campaign and Russian government officials. You can't do that. That's Don Jr.'s job.
On March 24th, Papadopoulos emailed an unnamed campaign supervisor and several members of the foreign policy team to inform them that he'd met with the professor and with a female Russian national described as Putin's niece, though authorities determined the woman is not, in fact, the Russian president's niece.
We are all very excited by the possibility of a good relationship with Mr. Trump.
1 week later, here's the picture. A lot of people say, oh, well, you know, that you appear in a picture with somebody doesn't mean anything. This is actually a meeting of a campaign team. There's Donald Trump. There's George Papadopoulos. There's Jeff Sessions. He sat in that meeting with the president. On April 25th, about a month later, Papadopoulos emailed a senior policy advisor for the campaign telling them, quote, the Russian government has an open invitation by Putin for Mr. Trump to meet him when he is ready. This is April 25th. The very next day, April 26th.
Papadopoulos tried to set up these meetings because the professor told him about the Russians possessing dirt on then-candidate Hillary Clinton in the form of, quote, thousands of emails. Okay, so we're supposed to believe that Trump wanted Russia to help with the emails? I mean, does that even pass the smell test?
Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
On April 27, the next day, Papadopoulos again emailed a senior policy advisor about Trump going to Russia. Have some interesting messages coming in from Moscow about a trip when the time is right. Same day, he emailed a high-ranking campaign official to discuss Russia's interest in hosting Mr. Trump, having been receiving a lot of calls over the last month about Putin wanting to host him and the team when the time is right. You're getting a sense of a trend here, right? May 21st, 2016, Papadopoulos emailed another high-ranking campaign official, who we now know was Paul Manafort, according to two sources familiar with the charges. The email reads, Russia has been eager to meet Mr. Trump for quite some time and have been reaching out to me to discuss. Manafort took this email and he forwarded it to a colleague without including Papadopoulos, and he says, let's discuss. We need someone to communicate that DT, Donald Trump, is not doing this trips. It should be someone low level in the campaign so as not to send any signal. Now, between mid-June and mid-August of 2016, Papadopoulos pursued this off-the-record meeting between representatives of the Trump campaign and with Putin's office. And then just after the now famous meeting in Trump Tower, June 9th, between the Russians and Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, Paul Manafort, and these Russians, August 15th, just after this, the campaign supervisors told Papadopoulos, I would encourage you, along with another foreign policy advisor to the campaign, to make the trip if it is feasible. On January 27th of this year, Papadopoulos was interviewed for the first time by the FBI, lying about his communication, the timing of his communication with this professor. He was arrested in July and he pled guilty on October 5th. His plea agreement says the government will inform the sentencing judge of Papadopoulos's cooperation with the investigation, which is going to determine what penalty he pays.
The other thing, though, is this interesting timing. Manafort's home gets raided the day before they arrest Papadopoulos.
That's right.
Why is that? Okay, they don't want Manafort to get word of Papadopoulos' arrest and start destroying evidence. But why is that significant? I think by the time Manafort's home is raided, Papadopoulos may have been already indicating that he was willing to cooperate. Remember, for a search warrant on Manafort's home, you need two things. You need evidence that a crime is going to be in there, and you need specificity to the place. So they had evidence that there's a crime occurring, there's evidence of it in Manafort's home. And then lastly, and the question is whether George may have provided any indication of that. Lastly, where do I think this is going next? There's subtle references in the documents we're seeing so far that Papadopoulos is the small player in a much larger sensitive investigation. Remember, there is classified information from the intelligence community available to Mueller's team about the Russian intelligence side of this. We haven't seen that yet, but rest assured, Mueller has that classified information. And that's where I think this is headed next, is the Russian government angle.
You know, from what I recall, George was a low-level volunteer. George was such a low-level volunteer, I don't recall having much interaction with him throughout the campaign.
Can you just explain what George Papadopoulos' role with the campaign was?
It was extremely limited. It was a volunteer position. And again, no activity was ever done in an official capacity on behalf of the campaign in that regard.
Let me ask you, do low-level advisors sit in on foreign policy council meetings with President Trump, as the picture that we've been showing clearly demonstrates? Do they frequently email top campaign officials about setting up meetings with Russian officials?
That all that matters is what did he do and with whom did he do it. And certainly the people who broke into the Watergate weren't very high level in the campaign of Nixon 72, and they ended up bringing down a presidency. So it doesn't really matter what his job title is. What matters is what he did.
I hate that stupid Mueller and his dumb investigation.
I think the message we're all getting is that he has a strategy. It's even referred to in the plea document that we are now reading on Papadopoulos that there is a roadmap. That phrase is used. He's got one. He's methodically going through the strategy. And you don't want to be the next person in that strategy. The other item here is this constant referral to Papadopoulos as a small player. You know what this reminds me of in my FBI career? This is dozens of drug wiretaps that I've listened to where the drug leaders are talking about who the courier is going to be today, who's expendable, who's the little guy that can get caught because we don't care. And that's what this sounds like a little bit with discussion of Papadopoulos. Let's send him to the meeting with the Russians. Very similar. Let's not discount him as this small player. He was a part in this, even unwittingly.
The president has not indicated to me or to anyone else that I work with that he has any intent on terminating Robert Mueller. And the way it would work is you could only terminate a special counsel for cause, and we just don't see any basis for cause.
That if the president dared to do it, there would be holy hell to pay, and it should be, and that word should start with an I and end with a T, namely
right.
Impeachment.
Right.
I hate that stupid Mueller and his dumb investigation.
The Trump tweet saying that the biggest story yesterday, the one that has the Dems in a dither, is Podesta running from his firm because he did quit the firm yesterday. What he knows about crooked Dems is earth-shattering. He and his brother could drain the swamp, which would be yet another campaign promise fulfilled. Fake news week.
Stop trying to make fetch happen. It's not going to happen.
And this has prompted today a John Podesta tweet. He, of course, the campaign chairman, saying, not bad enough that I was the victim of a massive cyber crime directed by the Russian president. Now I'm the victim of a big lie campaign by the American president. And just to remind, John Podesta, the campaign chairman, 10 years of his private emails, of his Gmail account, were dumped out into public view as part of this whole Russian campaign, according to the U.S. intelligence community.
Well, anyone who thinks they know where Bob Mueller's going next, I would ask them, where were they predicting the guilty plea of George Papadopoulos?
That's the big one, right.
I will say this, that it seems pretty clear from various court documents that have now been unsealed in the Papadopoulos case that the government has now, Mueller's team has now finished talking to anybody that Papadopoulos was in communication with at the White House. Why do I say that? Because he was in court on October 5th, Papadopoulos was, and pleaded guilty then in a secret hearing. We did not know he'd been arrested in late July. We did not know he pleaded guilty in October. And the government asked the judge to seal or keep private secret the fact that he'd been arrested and the fact of his guilty plea. And in explaining why they wanted the judge to do that, they said, we don't want other people that he talked to know that he's pleaded guilty and is cooperating with us, because we don't want them, their memories tainted by whatever becomes public. And we don't want the massive publicity about this case making them reluctant to talk to us. So, judge, seal this case, and then we'll unseal it once we've done what we have to do and we have talked to those people. So, therefore, it would seem logical to conclude that the special counsel has interviewed the people that Papadopoulos has talked to. And, in fact, we know that some people who worked on the campaign have now been interviewed by Mueller about these contacts with Papadopoulos. So that part of it would seem to be over.
And just to nail something down, by describing him as a proactive cooperator in the court filings, it's possible that he was wearing a wire. It's possible that he was recording his conversations on the telephone with some of these people. Because only one person in the District of Columbia, only one person needs to grant permission. It's not two people as it is in some jurisdictions. So they could have tapes of some of these people.
Lordy, I hope there are tapes.
I hate that stupid Mueller and his dumb investigation.
They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha.
To Mueller! Oh. He got me, Mike!
Well, looks like Mueller gotcha. It is what it is. So what, do we switch seats now?
No. No.
Roe v. Wade is gone. Gay marriage is now punishable by straight marriage. It's time to tackle important problems, like what to do when you're alone in your car with the lady GPS voice.
Everybody wishes that I were gone. America wants stability in order. Exit one President Trump and enter one President Pence. A man whose moral compass leads us forward into the past.
And finally, to address the issue of former President Trump.
Former?
Special Counsel Robert Mueller's dedicated attention to the president's obstruction of justice.
Whoa. Wait. That's not the kind of attention crisis I was looking for, Mike.
For that,
what the hell is going on? Grateful. Mike!
The former
Mike?
President Trump
Hello?
Put us through...
You gotta be kidding me. This is too scary. I'm done with your Twilight Zone thing. That's enough of this. I'm done with the Twilight Zone thing. Hello? Stop
it.
You in there. Pay attention to me. Get out of that chair, Mike. Mike, I'm right here. I'm right here. I'm the president. Executive order. Look at me. I'm the president. Doesn't anyone believe me? Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. No, not the Mulligan!
And so to you I say, good night, and Jesus bless the United States of America.
The song.
Golden Earring, Bernard Herrmann, Napoleon 14,
thanks to
Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Stephen Colbert, Anthony Atamanuk, Peter Groves,
Rachel
McAdams, Nora
Yodara,
Paul Manafit, Reed Jen Kearns, Mel Brooks, Rick Moranis, Ari Melba, Matt Lauer, Holly
Jackson,
Seth Myers, Jeffrey Toobin, Paul Butler,
Newt
Gingrich, Ari Belshi, Craig Melvin, Hugh Hewitt,
Jay
Sekulo, Andrea Mitchell, Pete
Williams,
James Cummey.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.